University.
Hello, you're listening to Extra Extra, URN's comedy news show, in which we take a slightly more unorthodox look at the news of the week. I'm Ella Vidrinska, and for the first time, I'm not joined, as ever, by Abby Houseman. Abby has abandoned us, so I've replaced her, like the evil genius that I am, with a self-proclaimed woman of mystery, Rebecca Hyde.
I never proclaimed it myself.
Well... I like the word self-proclaimed. I'm not going to lie. I've never used the word self-proclaimed in my life. And then I've used it about three times a day in the past week.
I think you like discover those terms and you just like use them repetitively. I remember like discovering the word intrinsic in English and like, and like it's like year 13 and like pretty much every essay, everything I ever wrote had it in. I think my teacher picked it up. He was like, come on, Rebecca.
Intrinsically self-proclaimed woman of mystery, Rebecca Hyde.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us back on the show. I say us, me. It's going to be a good show. Essentially.
saying that now.
I've done no research. I've designated research to Rebecca. It's very warm. Hay fever is playing up. And, fun fact, I'm on the squeakiest chair ever known to man. Just... squeaking.
So,
but I can't be bothered to change chairs. So, just as a heads up, if I listen back to this and there's no squeaking in the rest of the show, I'll cut that bit out.
Yeah.
But if there's any squeaking, any squeaking at all,
we'll just be able to highlight it.
It just needs to be like a public warning, really. But we are here to talk about the news of the week, although we will probably get slightly sidetracked as it goes on. Kicking things off for us, what monumental occasion has led to Ireland celebrating this week?
So in Ireland, they had basically a referendum to decide if they're going to kind of repeal the...
I don't know why my head's going banana. It was just like, but you don't repeal a banana. You peel a banana. But the pause after repeal, I was like, she's going to say banana. But she is going
to... We are trying to do sensible and mature news this week. Honestly.
I mean, not a chance.
No.
We're just going, she's definitely going to say it. You know when you get your brain gets so convinced that someone's going to say something and then they don't say it and you feel disappointed?
Well, I'm sorry I've let you down.
You should be. That's all I ask, really.
Okay.
What have Ireland repealed?
Not the banana, but basically allowing women to get abortions safely in the country. Banana of rights. And so for some reason it's taken a referendum with... the entire population to choose the rights of half the population. But
wasn't it like 64% of people turned out to vote?
Yeah.
So even then, it's not...
great one, democracy. We've done well there, but obviously, it worked in their favour, so...
It's
really good that that's worked out. Hopefully, kind of it'll be followed up by continued progress as well.
Yes, so this actually... It's not... The repeal on the Eighth Amendment... it doesn't mean that abortion like suddenly become legal. It means that the government...
like reconsider.
Yeah. The government is now allowed to legislate abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's definitely going the way that... That they will legalise it to some extent.
I think, because as much as you can say, we're going to vote for something, nothing's going to happen, which has definitely not happened in our country, ever.
That's bordering on satire. Just fill in the joke yourself.
Sorry. Yeah, but... hopefully it's going to take the right steps somewhere, but who knows?
Who knows? It's left up to a government.
Yeah.
No, I just think they early predictions had it as coming out quite close, but then in the end it was sort of a real landslide in favour of repealing the amendment, which I don't think any government, logically, now that I've said it, there are some governments that definitely could, but no government could look at that result and then go, people aren't really... They don't really want us to do anything about this. If only they could make the sign a bit more clear.
Yeah. Holding protests and things like that. So they've done that as well. We're gonna have to agree. But yeah, it's actually the first piece of kind of news in a referendum or a vote that's made me actually quite happy. So that's a first in a while. Some dark news related.
For the rest of the show before you make that claim. We've got some things coming up. What would be interesting, I think, is to see how Northern Ireland respond to this, because I know Arlene Foster has said that the Irish abortion vote has no impact on Northern Ireland. It's a devolved matter. And I think Theresa May is sort of being pressured by her own government and the Labour Party and the Lib Dems and people to sort of say, no, come on, Arlene. This is exactly how...
That's a song, isn't it?
Come on, Arlene. Dexy's follow-up. No, we're just going to be like, this is obviously quite a hot topic at the moment, and I think Theresa May is coming under a bit of sort of pressure. I know Penny Mordaunt, the Women and Equalities Minister, is calling for Northern Ireland to have a similar referendum.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see how they respond to that.
Well, it's just like another kind of spoon of mess into this like big giant Brexit stew pot we've got going. It's just,
that was a bit of a weird metaphor,
but you know, it's like, it's just, there's more things that keep happening. I just feel like Theresa May is just every time she goes, also Ireland have voted in favour of repealing
banana.
So I'm just going to say the Ireland vote now, so I don't make any references to bananas. So she's like, oh, you know, Irish vote, and Theresa May's just going, oh, look, there's more things. I'm going to have to actually do something.
Mm.
Imagine that. Make a decision. Be a bit crazy, but I don't know. It's just like, because then if they're going to have another referendum in Northern Ireland, it's like, oh, are we going to have... You know, what's going to happen within our own country is our laws going to be different to their laws if they make, you know, that separate referendum. And then,
well, at the moment, Northern Ireland have much more limited laws on abortion. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not as unrestricted as it is in the rest of the UK.
Yeah.
But not completely illegal like it was in Ireland. I just think Theresa May sort of got herself into a bit of trouble. She sort of shot herself in the foot, really, by, you know, they've had to get the DUP on side just to form a government that she messed up in the first place. We don't need to readdress that. But now there are things that, like,
real issues, like running a government and having to speak to other countries.
It's the sort of topic that people are so invested in.
Mm-hmm.
And at a simple level, quite an easy thing to make a decision on in terms of like media representation. You're like, oh, as Prime Minister, I want to look like I'm a nice person who supports women.
Yeah.
Obviously be in favour of abortion.
Uh-huh.
This is a massive generalisation, I realise. but then suddenly can't go on record by saying anything. She's either going to ostracise her entire government or alienate the DUP who she needs their support.
Yeah, it's like, oh, she... I don't know. Do you feel like she just didn't expect what was going to be happening?
Almost like she didn't plan things through thoroughly
enough. It's like, you know, she just like came to power thinking like, oh, it's all right, I'm just going to take advantage of this whole Brexit thing, do my thing, you know, ruin a few people's lives, it'll be all right. And then at the end of the day, I'll be able to get away with it. But I don't think she read the job description of Prime Minister quite properly, because it's like Theresa May faces it's another like
issue. She got sent the document and she's like, right, I'll read the first page and then I'll like skim read the rest of it and then read the end.
Oh, that sounds like a little bit relatable, Ella.
Like with an English essay where you're like, right, I don't actually want to read any of this, but I'll get like the idea of
the
argument.
She read the abstract, but missed the entire chapter on diplomacy and human rights.
And now she's reached that point that I reached. I had to write an essay and I was doing some background reading for it. And I read this essay and it was written by the most pretentious academic I've ever read.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to the conclusion. I was like, I cannot work through this. I'll just read the conclusion and get the gist of it from there. And the entire conclusion was written in ancient Greek. Now, I don't know ancient Greek. There wasn't a translation for the ancient Greek. And I was like, you know what? This isn't worth it. And I think that's the perfect analogy for Theresa May as Prime Minister.
Listen, Theresa May, we know the struggles you're going through. She's just reached her page of ancient Greek.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, she is a bit too stupid to realise that she had to learn ancient Greek a while ago. You managed fine because you are a student and not the Prime Minister of the country.
My response was very much to go, oh, for God's sake, and throw the bit of paper away and ignore it and not reference it at all in my essay.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't work quite as well when that's put into like government and diplomacy. Just going, oh, for God's sake,
is that
I don't
why?
Care about this. I've heard isn't the best way to go about international relations. I mean, if they want to start using me as like a consultant for sort of international relations and just general chit-chat, I'm mm-hmm. here. They yeah. haven't contacted me yet.
Yeah.
I do keep offering my services.
Careful. I'm just treading on thin ice for saying
things. I clearly mean that in an academic / business sense.
You thought when I said repeal earlier, I was going to say the banana when I was referring to a referendum in Ireland.
Okay, well, when you put it that way, maybe I understand why they haven't contacted me yet. Just think they need a sort of creative thinker, someone who thinks outside the box.
True.
And that I can do.
Yes,
implementing
I can tell.
Those ideas. Oh, not a chance. Uh-huh. I'm very much the sort of the quirky, creative one.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to being put into practice, I'm just like, nope, that's my ancient Greek.
Yeah.
I'm so professional.
Mm-hmm.
I am professional. I've got Twitter this week.
Oh.
So
only just. That's
yes. I mean, yeah. It took me until 2015 to get Facebook. I'm not gonna lie.
Fair.
So I've sort of been hoping to get through life without ever using Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to this big like meeting thing for PhD students.
Yeah.
And an hour of this day event was dedicated to making everyone get Twitter.
Oh, so you had to literally go to a course and be forced into getting. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good resistance.
It was the whole thing. The idea was that it's for networking.
Mm-hmm.
The underlying point was very much you have to get Twitter or you will fail at being an academic, which I took offence to.
Mm.
As Abby would say, umbrage with, mm-hmm. because she's an English student. Sort of point blank refused to get Twitter, and then was like, fine, I'll get Twitter, put my name in, but spelt it differently, spelt it like how it's actually spelt rather than how I spell it.
Oh, yeah.
Just so I was like, oh, after this event, I'll delete the account and mm-hmm. and I'll have to think about it again. And then we're meant to network, and I couldn't be bothered to network, so I was just like, right, I'm just going to sit here and then let people come to me if they want to talk to me, which I'll admit failed because I hadn't got a photo on there, so no one knew who I was. But then I got home and like realised that actually loads of people from the event had like started following me and like really invested in my project.
So you like hiding in the corner didn't
yeah.
do any favours.
I was just sort of chatting to my friends. It's a great way of networking, I find.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so then like all these people started following me and like were commenting on things, doing my proposed PhD project mm-hmm. and like putting ideas forward. I was like, oh, actually, if I now delete this, they're all gonna like disappear from my life, and actually some of the contacts could be quite useful.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm like, it was that moment I realized, oh god, now I'm like involved in Twitter.
You're in the network,
but my name was spelt wrong, and like the Twitter handle didn't match my Facebook one. And I was like, oh, that's gonna ruin the online personal brand.
See, you're in there now. So you've said that phrase, online personal brand.
It's all important.
You're broken.
So I then had to go through and like change everything.
Oh no.
So that now it fits. At Elevid96, if anyone is interested.
That's an absolute plug.
So
that grand build up of you saying you didn't care about Twitter and never wanted it ended with you just all it was for you to be able to get people to
yes.
follow you.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a shameless plug.
That's...
And this is why I'd be very much suited to advising the Tory government.
Uh-huh.
All I'm going to say.
Again, yeah, Theresa May, if you're listening, follow Ella on Twitter.
Point is, Ireland, stuff's happened. Good
yeah.
stuff's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Well done, Ireland. Congrats.
What a way to sum up.
You were talking about Twitter.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Donald Trump and his definitely not childish behaviour again. So.
Sorry, chair squeaked over that. What has Donald Trump done?
Well, earlier in the week, he basically just kicked off at Kim Jong-un again, as he likes to.
I just want them to be friends.
Yeah, just be mates. But yeah, and...
I feel like then someone needs to put together a compilation video of like photos and videos of the meeting to the tune of Michael Bolton's "How Can We Be Lovers If We Can't Be Friends?"
That's because all diplomacy needs is just a bit of love.
All diplomacy needs is Michael Bolton.
Oh dear. Please don't put me in any position of power in the government.
It's fine, because I'll be there with Michael Bolton. Oh, yeah. But yeah, so Donald Trump has done things. I know nothing about this story.
Cancelled the summit that they were going to have talking about.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. But, well, he cancelled it earlier.
What a great summit. Like, I am an academic. I am an intellectual. I am the host of a new show. You're like, he's cancelled a summit. And my reaction was, oh, that's bad.
Well, that's bad. Yeah.
I'm not saying that you're going to get a lot of information from Extra Extra, but...
Well, yeah, so it seemed like it was going to be pretty terrible, and he was saying, like, we're ready for any action North Korea is going to have against us. Like, he was saying this, like, he expected North Korea to literally blow up the entire country, as soon as he said it. North Korea didn't really do that much, and now, as expected, because we've got this newfound heartfelt romance between North and South Korea.
I don't know if you've listened. We did talk about this on Extra Extra a few weeks ago about the rom-com-esque relationship between North and South Korea. Yeah. And within that discussion, we discovered that Amber Rudd is credited as being in Four Weddings and a Funeral.
What?
I don't know anything about the news, but... Amber Rudd's pop culture references, that I can do. So because it was made on such a low budget,
yeah,
they had to bring in aristocrats who already owned morning suits because they couldn't pay extras to get and get source all the costumes, because Four Weddings and a Funeral had such a low budget. So they brought in people who already owned the right kind of clothing, and then got them to star in the scenes. So Amber Rudd features in one of the church scenes and then is credited as a coordinator of the aristocrats or something. But the point is, we're going to make a rom-com.
Okay.
About them, and Amber Rudd's going to be involved.
All right.
She's not aware of that yet. But
we won't
follow Elevid 96, and she can get all the information about that rom-com.
And we won't have enough budget to be able to pay extras to wear... aristocratic clothing, so we're gonna have to use her anyway.
Yeah. So Donald Trump has cancelled the summit.
Mm-hmm. However, I know. So
that was a very dramatic way of delivering the word "however." I liked it. I've ruined it now by
acting,
interrupting it. But
yeah.
However,
however, actually, they've agreed that they're going to see each other again. So it was like such.
Wait, this is such a non-story.
I know, but it just has to be covered because it was just such a I can't describe how dramatic his letter was to Kim Jong-un saying that he wanted to cancel the summit. It was being like, oh, yeah, so, you know, the US are ready for anything that could happen, and we understand it's outrageous that what North Korea has done. It's like there was one comment made.
What voice was that? Boris Johnson was writing
Boris
his letter.
Johnson. I can't do an American accent. And I doubt it was Trump that wrote it anyway. For all we know, it was Boris Johnson that wrote the letter. It could have been anyone. That's what I'm saying.
Spoiler alert, it was me.
Trump wrote the letter. Not, I don't know. Someone wrote a letter
saying Trump had cancelled the summit, and now the summit is not cancelled.
And once more, the whole of Twitter and everyone was like, World War III, it's happening. It's finally happening. Everyone seemed to get really weirdly excited. And then Mr. Moon from South Korea, who's obviously he's got
great,
his...
Can we just say great name?
I know. Incredible.
He's ready for the rom-com.
Yeah, that's such a romantic name.
Yeah.
He's got it. Mr. Moon. He swept in and... sorry, I don't know how to describe that. I just did a little hand movement.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to stress it, but...
Yeah, I thought I should because I feel very ashamed of myself now. He swept in and said...
He'd just come out of a pond that he'd been walking through, like Mr. Darcy.
And he just looked at Trump and Kim Jong-un and just went, children, stop arguing, you know? Why don't we just have the summit anyway? And they both just kind of went, yeah, all right. And then now they're having a summit.
I like this Moon guy. He sounds great.
I know. I think we've romanticised him a little. I don't really support his politics.
Not knowing anything about him or his politics, from the idea of how he would fit in the rom-com, I'm like, yeah, I am on board with this guy.
Yeah. So in the context of the North-South Korea rom-com, he seems like an excellent figure. But yeah. Basically, it's just this massive pettiness. Trump was like, oh, actually, no, I'm annoyed at North Korea. I'm not coming to your birthday party. That kind of thing.
Your Donald Trump is very...
I can't...
British aristocrat.
Oh, you mentioned Amber Rudd. I'm just like down this dark aristocratic tunnel. But I think... No, it's just...
No, I'm not coming to your birthday party, said Donald Trump.
Please. I'm trying.
No. I found a joke and I'm going to run it into the ground.
Aristocratic Donald Trump. You know, where it's translating it for the UK audience.
Okay, wow, okay. That's the line I'm taking.
But no. It's all been very petty. Everyone kicked off saying World War III was going to start. Like, it's apparently been about to start over the past 3 years. World War III didn't start. If by the time this episode comes out, World War III has started, I am very sorry. And I've got my exam tomorrow. I'm ready to...
Can you imagine going into your exam tomorrow? You've been worrying about that.
Uh-huh. I'm worrying about World War III.
In the course of the exam, you walk out and the apocalypse has begun.
I think that's a sad metaphor for how I'm going to perform in that exam, the outcome of my results.
If we have like a summing up sentence on Donald Trump.
Basically, Trump said no, and then he said yes. No, right.
Let's have a summing up sentence on the Trump scenario. And your response is, and I know I'm not on a particularly high horse after the banana incident, but your response to that was, Trump said no, and then he said yes.
Yeah, I was being as summarizable as possible.
Summarizable.
Please.
Do you want to move on?
Yeah, right. Tough.
No. Well, okay. You need a sentence. The summit is now going ahead.
It is going ahead.
As of recording.
Somewhat. Yeah, that's about it. It's confirmed that there's going to be negotiations and...
What are they talking about? Rom-com, presumably. Who's going to play each character?
Strangely enough.
Character. Person. Real person.
Like that old character Donald Trump. What's he like? Nuclear weapons.
Okay, that's slightly more serious.
Yeah, but Trump's saying, oh no, don't want to have the agreements until North Korea have properly denuclearised. But it's like... What about the US?
Yeah. Hypocritical.
Yeah.
Am I right, guys? Follow Elevid 96 for more
political activism.
Yes. Yeah. Let's say that. It's not about me talking about radio shows and children's literature. Political activism.
Political activism.
Hashtag.
Again, if you're listening, Theresa May.
If she is, well.
Oh, dear.
She probably isn't anymore.
We're not getting a job in the government.
And there go all of my career plans. In the meantime, why has everyone seemed more popular than usual this week?
Yeah, my emails have been absolutely blowing up with exciting news. I've been thinking, like, oh no, have all those weird applications for work experience I sent in like a fit of fear that I was never going to get a job, have they finally replied to me?
Okay, right. We will get on to the news. Why weird applications? Does that refer to how you filled them in or the jobs that you were applying for?
It's just like the scope.
I'd like to dress up as a banana mascot and walk around Ireland. But a lot of email has been coming through. It was sort of the equivalent of like when you haven't got a text for ages and then your phone beeps and you get all excited and then it's from Tesco.
Yeah. Cheers, Tesco.
And I feel like I'm projecting here, but that's never made me feel more lonely. Yeah. Actually, no, that's a lie. Do you know what really made me feel lonely?
Are we going down the...
Yes, I'm using this as a therapy session now.
Oh, dear.
A few days before Valentine's Day...
Oh, no.
I got a text message from Dragon.
Yeah.
And for about 30 seconds, I thought that I was in a spy movie. And I got so excited. And then I clicked on it and it was a local Chinese restaurant offering discounted takeaways on Valentine's Day. And I was like, you know what? That's the most depressing thing I've ever received.
Not only have you been reminded of Valentine's Day.
And the fact that I'll die alone.
Yeah.
With a Chinese, presumably.
Yeah. on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, just crying into my crispy shredded chicken.
Yeah, it's been there since that Valentine's Day last year when you got told of the deal. I'm going to keep this.
You know what? We damn well used it.
Yeah.
As a house, we were like, you know what? Let's have a slightly cheaper Chinese takeaway. Yeah. We're all alone.
Like everybody crying into like a chicken chow mein.
Yeah.
That's how most of my nights go, if you're asking.
Yes. To prevent this from turning into like a proper therapy session or like my mum who's going to be listening to this being worried about me, I'm fine.
She's not.
The Chinese was delicious, I will say that. Mm-hmm. Back to emails.
Emails, yeah.
I forgot what we were talking about for a second.
Basically, pretty much every company ever that is sending us emails telling me that their data privacy policies have been updated and we should read them. And I'm sure every person who's received these emails have thoroughly read what they've been sent.
Which company were you most surprised that you had an account of some sort with?
I think it was probably like all the ones I got. I got a load of like banking ones. And I was like, maybe it's just me being a bit foolish and assuming that just because I've got a thing with Santander, I'm safe, and it's just the Italians that have my money. And it's not Italy, is it?
I don't know.
Is it? Santander's an Italian company, isn't it? Oh, dear. If not... It
doesn't sound Italian.
I swear it's...
Santander UK is a British bank wholly owned by the Spanish Santander
Spain,
group.
Right. Let's just redo that and I'll just Spanish instead of Italian.
Italy and Spain basically the same place, aren't they, Rebecca?
Yeah.
Bloody racist.
Sorry. I'm joking. I love Europe. Woo.
She doesn't. She's lying.
No, please. I'm a good person. Yeah, no, it was Visa checkout.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh dear, what have I not known that I've been buying? Things like that. And I was just a bit spooked. It's like the amount of banking ones that are like, we've updated our privacy policies. It's like, I didn't know that you had all my data anyway.
See, I didn't get many banking ones that I remember. I might have just...
I don't know why they're sending
Mark
me emails.
Is red rather than...
It's not like I've got enough money to be able to have... You know, it's not like there's going to be a substantial amount of money that they could kind of use my data against me for, because it's...
No, I was surprised by the number of ticketing services.
Oh, yeah, that's another
like
one.
I didn't think I knew about that many like places selling tickets, but they've got ATG and CNow and like Event Ticket, and I'm going, I don't use any of these.
Yeah, so I think I used Ticketmaster like twice.
Ticketmaster came through.
That's all I've used, so like, mainly because I do like go to concerts quite a lot and stuff. That's where like all my student loans gone, but
I'm still too lazy to I'm too lazy to unsubscribe from it, so I'm still getting emails.
We're
from
still
all
in
people.
The web
they've
of,
still got all of my details
of business. Yeah, but no, it's like, wow, it's capitalism, scary. Everyone's got all my information and now but good, they're updating their privacy policy, so I should be safe.
I was just waiting for someone to... If any email had come through that didn't begin with the words, we're updating our privacy policy, I got excited.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was about privacy policy, but they just phrased it in a different sort of way.
So what's this? Like,
just mix and match a bit, guys. Just sort of... I'll write the email. I'm just trying to... I'm basically using Extractor to get a job. Like, just be a bit more creative. Don't be like, we're updating our privacy policy. We know you're updating your privacy policy. Everyone's updating their privacy policy. Just, you know.
Yeah, but having it in a creative format, is that going to make people read it more? Because otherwise they're just going to sit and just going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Send an email that goes, we're moving our headquarters to Mars. Only joking, we're updating our privacy policy. That, at least, would make me go, that was cool.
Will it, though?
The first time. After that.
It's the little things in life, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really have a life. I refer you to the earlier Chinese on Valentine's Day conversation. I get quite excited by emails.
We've all been there. It's okay.
But yeah, basically, the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR. I'm not going to lie. The first few times I heard GDPR, I thought it was a train system in London. It took me worryingly long to realise it wasn't. It's meant to be giving EU citizens more rights about how the information is used.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great timing. Excellent. I'm glad to have some good EU rights for a bit.
Yeah, because it's like the fact that the companies working in the EU must show they have like a lawful basis for why they've got this information.
Yeah, maybe it's because
and that's
the
being
EU
brought in just as we're about going, bye EU.
Yeah.
Yay, Brexit.
Brexit. I got something that could link to this.
Oh.
a little bit.
Oh.
All this data protection.
I love a segue.
Yeah. Well, it was a little news article I read earlier in the week. Talking of kind of like privacy and stuff. You know Amazon's Alexa?
Okay, I really don't know where... I didn't know where it was going. Then you said Amazon's Alexa, and I'm like, no, I've really no idea where this is going.
Well, there was a story earlier in the week of one recording someone's conversation, like a private conversation, and just sending it to a random contact. Like, somehow the machine malfunctioned. It's just like, all right, so great, we've got this news coming out in the week about excellent, you know, companies aren't going to sell our data to, like, some government somewhere who's going to do something. I don't know, I'm scared. But anyway, like, hopefully that's working out. But then at the same time, we have machines in our homes that, well, I mean, I don't, but some people do have machines in their homes that can literally just will randomly record your conversation and send it to someone. It just seemed like such an obscure thing to do.
I just like the old-fashioned way of like having to sneak in and hide in a cupboard to record someone's conversation.
That's your favourite pastime.
Yeah. It's good. Okay, let's not phrase it quite like that. Favourite pastime is propelling from the ceiling to get to the cupboard, obviously. It's just taking out all the fun of like spying on people.
Mm-hmm.
What I heard this week, just while on the topic of like intelligent devices in the home, people can hack into, like, you know, you can get like smart fridges and smart washing machines and toasters and things like that. People can hack into those and like make them self-combust.
What?
And this person was talking about, I don't know how true this is, it was on a comedy show on Dave, the highest source of news. I think it's just one above extra extra. Yeah, and people can hack into them. So, like, if you're on holiday, they can make things catch fire. And the problem is, like, when you go on holiday, you turn everything off. You turn off your TV and your toaster and your kettle. You trust the fridge.
Are you telling me that I shouldn't be trusting my fridge anymore?
I'm just saying, don't get smart technology, I think is where I'm going with this.
Fridges? They're just... I'm scared. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to afford smart technology anyway.
No, so I mean, we're not going to... If it puts into context, we're students. We won't ever be able to afford...
This is not a concern
house,
we can
the
have.
The house to put the smart technology in. Just, like, save up all your money, get a smart fridge, and stand on the street corner where you live with it, and then watch it as it catches fire because someone's hacked into it because they've got your personal data. Because we've left the EU and we don't have personal data protection policies anymore.
What personal data we even have left when none of us have, you know, none of us have houses. none of us have cars.
We've gone like full circle. In the 80s, they were telling children not to get into fridges. Now, well, that's your only choice. It's the only place you can live is a smart fridge.
10 years time, it's like, where have you can't afford to live anywhere, so I'm in my parents' fridge at the moment. The only place I can feel safe, but... Unfortunately, it's not a smart fridge, so no one's going to hack into it and combust me.
Oh, I look forward to the future.
Yeah.
Moving a little bit closer to home and indeed the present day, before the fridges take over. weather stuff's happening.
Yeah. Well, actually, I keep getting notifications on my phone. I've got this new phone and it freaks me out. It's like a smart fridge. I don't know what what's going to be going on.
It's massive, but... and it keeps things cold. It's going, why are you talking?
It's quite big, actually.
It's a massive phone.
I know.
It's basically the size of a fridge. Yeah. It's like the idea of you like opening the fridge door and like going, yeah, mum, so I'm going to be coming home this weekend. And everyone's like, she's lost it. Rebecca has finally lost it. She's talking to the fridge and you're like, no, it's a smart fridge. It's the new Samsung Galaxy phone fridge combo.
Yeah, well, this phone scares me. Don't really know. I'm going to put it away and leave it there.
It does look like the sort of phone. And I mean this in the nicest possible way.
I'm not going to take offence. It's a phone, you know.
Well, you might. That an evil villain would use. I didn't need to clarify that it was an evil villain. The word villain very much suggests a degree
of
evilness.
It's like a villain, because villains are evil.
Yeah, but well, it's an evil villain.
I'm an evil villain.
It's the sort of phone that an evil villain would use.
In what way? I'm a good person, Ellen.
Are you? Sorry. So you say it keeps giving you notifications about the weather?
Yeah, literally, I'd say average of once an hour, I get a notification that says, like, Nottingham, warning, rain, and then this morning...
Oh, is it Donald Trump giving the notifications?
It's just my voice of fear.
Your voice of fear. Last week we were introduced to your important business
person.
Tonight, Rebecca's voice of fear.
It's a reflection of, like, my mood is which voice I'll bring into the room each week. So, like, because I'm, you know, mid-exam, I have an exam tomorrow. Well, Tuesday, isn't it? So
yesterday. Yeah. Indeed. Might not be listening to it on Wednesday.
Because of World War III.
Yes, well, they're very much trying to hide from the fridges.
Yeah. Anyway,
are the notifications telling you?
The notifications, yeah, they're telling me warning for rain, and this morning I got one saying flooding, and obviously this, because we've had mass flooding in right around Birmingham, East Midlands area. It's been pretty horrendous. It's actually
Birmingham's not in the East Midlands, mate.
East the Midlands,
Birmingham,
West Midlands.
We're in the East Midlands.
I'm from Leeds. I don't know anywhere.
Okay, right. I'm from the Midlands, and I take the Midlands very seriously.
Okay, no, I understand. I understand that that would be an offensive comment for me to make, and I take it back completely.
That's all I ask.
Birmingham, which is in the West Midlands.
There we go.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, it's been some, like, pretty horrible flooding. So my friend lives in, like, the student area, obviously, in Birmingham, which is Selly Oak, and he says, like, they've like, barely been able to get out places because so many of the roads have just, like, ridiculous amounts of flooding. There's cars, like, submerged. There's actually, like, for once, I know we say this stuff about us overreacting about the weather, but there's actually not been that much overreacting, and it's actually a serious issue.
The problem is,
don't have our priorities straight in this country, do we?
The problem is, because it's been really lovely weather here, I sort of don't believe it's happened.
Yeah, I'm so confused. Like I said, getting these notifications. So this morning saying flooding. I looked outside with, like, bright sunshine, two clouds.
I followed the forecast though, and, like, yesterday, I was like, right, the forecast for the entire day is thunderstorms and, like, heavy rain. Mm-hmm. So I'll put on, like, sensible shoes, and I'd got two umbrellas in my bag. I'd got my waterproof. And then it was just glorious weather.
Yeah.
All day. And I just carried this stuff around, like, for no reason. And now I'm worried it's going to be like the boy who cried wolf, where when the Met Office tell me that there's going to be thunderstorms here again, I'll be like, no, it'll be fine. Yeah. And then I'm going to get drenched.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
And it'll all be their fault.
Yeah. Met Office, if you're listening, you made me, I don't know, forget my coat.
I feel like you started off at a much more threatening level.
Should I put on my voice of fear?
Yes, please.
Met Office.
Met Office.
If you're listening.
Blimey, you made me forget my kit.
If you're listening, I appear to be a little bit damp.
Dear.
But yeah, wait. So I'm just going to check the forecast. So for today, nice weather, 22 degrees.
Ooh.
Medium UV, medium pollen, medium pollution, sunny intervals and breezy. Yeah, that was about right.
So that means I'm going to burn to a crisp and not be able to stop sneezing from the moment I wake.
Wednesday, heavy cloud, rain in the afternoon.
Oh.
And then just cloud and rain on and off until next Tuesday. A bit of sunny intervals and breezy again.
I didn't realise we were doing the bird of forecast.
Hello, you're listening to Extra Extra, Euron's brand new weather show. It's the weather.
The weather.
The problem with British weather is that there's just everything. And so it's like, because it's so changeable, we've developed this culture of being like, oh, it's really hot. It's almost too hot to do anything. Mm-hmm. We need to be in the sun.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, every other country where it's that hot, they go, no, this is the time to be inside and, like, keeping cool. And they've, like, designed
houses
to deal with that. And I know that we don't need houses that can deal with, like, the kind of heat they get in Spain or Italy. But is this odd that we're the
only... You had to say Spain or Italy, didn't you?
We are the only... I'm just a big fan of the Santander branches. We're the only country who seem to have got this culture of being like, it's too hot, so I'm going to force myself to sit in the sun in a really uncomfortable way. I'm going to, like, burn and get skin cancer and be miserable.
Yeah.
And then vote for Brexit because of the weather.
Oh, are you saying?
Yes.
Oh, that's a bold move, but I think Ella's just said that the cause of Brexit was the UK weather.
Yes.
Is that the real factor of dissatisfaction? That's why the people...
It's the SPF factor of dissatisfaction.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, I sort of want there to be some... Hold it together, Rebecca. We're nearly done. I sort of want there to be some bad weather. Like, not... I don't want it to flood here. Uh-huh. A few thunderstorms would be exciting.
Yeah, a bit of change from this kind of weirdly nice...
Yeah. But as long as I realise I'm being quite picky about this and you can't really choose the weather.
That's correct.
That I know of. What a way to find out I've got magic powers. But I'd like a few thunderstorms, but when I'm inside.
Yeah.
When I'm like, oh, a nice power cut. I'm a fan of a power cut.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't last too long or get in the way of anything.
Yeah, then you know that smart fridge can't come and get you.
Nah, see? It's intelligent.
We've got you now, smart technology that's going to take us over.
But you know, it's quite nice. You set a load of candles up. You play card games.
Yeah.
I love the power cut.
A good, no, I agree with you, actually. That's a good idea. Also, massive excuse to not do anything.
I have just realised that I could just get around this by turning all the lights and heat.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know electricity in your house does have an off button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you don't need to say it quite like that, Rebecca. I'm not a complete idiot.
No, you're not.
I'm mostly
correct.
An idiot, but I'm not a complete idiot.
Don't do yourself down.
Aww. Yeah, so if you are in an area of the country, not the East Midlands, where there's been awful weather, I'm sorry. I hope you're dealing with it.
I hope you're dealing with it.
I don't want the
pull yourself together.
Right, Donald Trump's back. No, it's like, you know, poor you, but I'm fine. It's very much the Tory
so
way of looking
heartful,
at it.
So heartful.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. But yeah, if you're suffering floods and thunderstorms and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm really sorry for you. I hope things get better, as they will, because that's how weather works. Mm-hmm. And whether the weather be wet or whether the weather be not wet, dry... You know what? Let's just end the show. Thank you so much for listening. I really mean that. And thank you to Rebecca for joining me here in the studio.
Thank you for putting up with me today.
I mean, it's very much in my job description. We'll be back next Wednesday taking you through more of the biggest news stories of the week in a slightly more unorthodox way. For now, I've been Olivia Drinska. This has been Extra Extra. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
I really hope somebody did that in, like, you know, like the protests and the marches and stuff. They did like the repeal the 8th and it's just somebody dressed as a banana. That would be incredible.
If they didn't, copyright Oliver Dritzka.
Yeah, yeah. For the next thing that we need to repeal.
Yeah.
We're ready. Banana
I think
costumes.
It's because you say repeal. It's taken me this long to get to. I think it's because you say repeal rather than repeal.
Ah, yeah. I'm
and so
sorry.
In my head, it's like you are repealing something rather than repealing something. You have peeled something and now you repeal it.
I'm sorry that my pronunciation is not up to the standards required for this show.
I mean, if that's saying a lot, really, isn't it? Because the standards on this show are so low.
Yeah, they are.